Morning. It's good to see you today. Glad that you're here. We have several visitors present. We're especially grateful that you are part of the assembly this morning, and hope that you'll have other opportunity to be with us as we meet again tonight at 6 o'clock. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then we want to especially encourage you to think soberly and carefully from the Word of God about your condition before God Almighty this morning. To know that even as we have sung and as we have remembered in the Lord's Supper that Jesus died for the sins of the world, that means He died for you as well as for all others who are here this morning. And so if you understand and know that Jesus is the Son of God, then we urge you as He urges you to act upon your faith today, to confess your faith that He's the Son of God, to repent of your sin against God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, that you might be added by Him to His body of the redeemed, the saved ones, His church, to serve Him in joy and praise and thanksgiving from this day forward in your life with the hope of heaven, so that when Jesus comes, that He will come for you unto eternal glory. And that's the invitation of the gospel, and we hope that you'll avail yourself of it as the Lord's invitation this morning, as you have that need in your life. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to study some about the Lord's invitation. So I hope you come back and be a part of that study tonight, because we need to understand what it is He invites us to, why He invites us, and what our responsibilities are toward the invitation that the Lord makes to each one of us. So we invite you to that study tonight. This morning, we want to base our thinking upon Psalm 100, and no doubt because, with Thanksgiving, our national holiday is in a few days, but as we'll see in the Word of God, God calls upon us, His people, to give thanks to Him every day, and indeed He calls upon all of His creation to regard Him and thank Him every day. At all times for the many wonderful gifts and blessings and considerations that He gives us, His people. Of course, thanksgiving, as the psalmist in this passage, in this particular this short psalm says, that we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Here's why. Because the Lord is good, He says. His mercy is eternal, everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So God's character, God's conduct, and God's message. You see, God is good, God is merciful toward us, and God has a message of truth to us all. These are reasons for us to enter into His presence, into His gates, into His court, with praise and thanksgiving continually on our lips and in our lives. This is the constant and immediate response of the people of God. God is good. I mean, we could spend all morning looking at all the attributes of God and know that every one of them deserve our praise, our thanksgiving, our gratitude, our recognition that from His goodness, from His power, from His mercy, from His deliverance of us from the bondage of sin in the Savior, His care and keeping now and eternally, all of these are noted on practically every page of the Bible. David in First Chronicles 16, when the ark was brought back to Jerusalem, we've been studying that on Wednesday night. What did they do? They thanked God. He thanked God. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. And so he gave him a song. He wrote a song. And he said, let's sing this song of thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. And so David said, let's thank God that His ark has been brought to Jerusalem. Thank Him for the victories. Thank Him for His presence. Praise His name. As Psalm 100, as we've already read, speaks to those points. Look at Psalm 107. I encourage you to read and go back to the Psalms and see just how many of them speak of thanksgiving before God and unto God. In chapter 107, the 107th Psalm is a thanksgiving for deliverance that God has given His people as they are brought back from exile to the land of Canaan. In this passage, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God had brought them back from the enemy's clutches, from the exile, as they had been delivered. And now they're thanking God that He's bringing them back. He gathered out of the lands from the east and the west, from the north and from the south. Just as God gathered a remnant from the captivity in Babylon and brought them to their land, God has gathered a remnant of grace through the gospel. He's gathered the redeemed and brought us into a safe and secure land of living with Him and His blessings in the Christ, deserving of praise and thanks then and now for the wonderful deliverance that He gives. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3, another of the Psalms, it says and emphasizes thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. And then he goes on to describe and discuss God as Creator and the other elements worthy of praise, worthy of thanksgiving. In Isaiah 51, just to give one other illustration of the point, because it's prophetic of where you and I are today in the Messiah's kingdom, in His church, he says, listen to me. Isaiah 51 in verse 1. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. In Zion. Not in that elevated place in Jerusalem that we studied Wednesday night that David took the stronghold of Zion. Not merely there was thanksgiving to go forth from God, for God and unto God, but in the Messiah's kingdom, in the Zion that we are a part of today, His church, thanksgiving and the voice of melody, the voice of praise, is to come forth from our lips, from our hearts, from our lives. That's seen prophetically in the comfort that Messiah would give the people of God as they reside with God in His kingdom. Well, that's you and me. And so the question then comes to us, how are we showing thanks? Are we remembering to be thankful people? Are we praising God as Ephesians 5 and 20 says, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was prophesied, what was seen of thanksgiving given to God through Israel of old. You know, Israel had their days of thanksgiving. Leviticus talks about that. I saw a brother writing an article about that just this past week. Israel had a Thanksgiving day where they brought praises and sacrifices of thanksgiving to God way back then. America is not the first nation to ever have Thanksgiving. But you see, now is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, His church. Every day is a day of thanksgiving, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It just so happens, though, that the fourth Thursday of November every year, we have a particular opportunity to remind ourselves. But you know, again, as people of God in Zion, we're to be daily reminded and recognizing why it is that we should be thankful people, giving gratitude to God for the blessings received. That's what thanks essentially is showing gratitude and grateful acknowledgement for the blessings and benefits that we have received. Now, it's the opposite of being selfish. A selfish person is not a thankful person. An arrogant person, a rebellious person, has no room in their heart to be thankful toward God or toward people. And one of the characteristic traits of rebellion is a casting off.
of a respect for those for whom we ought to have a thankful respect toward. And where we see a lack of thanks, we see a corresponding selfishness. There's a corresponding arrogance and pride and self-centeredness where there is no thankfulness. Thanksgiving springs out of love, out of joy, out of praise, out of a recognition of the benefit that we otherwise would not have. But in having it, then we fully express that recognition, that acknowledgement, that joy. Where there is thanksgiving, I suggest to you that we have contentment. The person who's thankful is a person who's contented. Knowing the source of the blessing, knowing the blessing itself, and having a heart of thankfulness toward it. That provides peace. That provides contentment in our lives. On the other hand, a person who is not thankful, who does not see the blessing in his or her life, driven by lust, is anxious, is worried and distracted and consumed with the things of the moment, rather than being able to be thankful, whether a little or a lot, to be thankful primarily for God, to God, for everything in one's life. So the question, I guess, is for each of us this morning is to just examine ourselves and ask, am I a thankful person? Am I expressing thanks to the people in my life the way I should? Am I expressing thanks to God the way I ought? Am I mindful of the importance of being a thankful person? Let us just explore that a little bit by first noting that when we give thanks, it presumes some things. It presumes that we know that we've been blessed. A person who gives thanks, that indicates that he knows that he's a blessed person. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Paul knew the blessing that he had received through Christ. And so he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful in putting me into the ministry. Although before I was, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Now, Paul was thankful because he had knowledge of the blessing he'd received. He knew it. You know, we can't be thankful people if we don't know that we've been blessed. But that leads right into the second point, and that is, to be able to give thanks, we know that we've actually received the blessing. We actually count our blessings. The song that we sing, Count Your Many Blessings, is a reminder to be a thankful person. That we know that we've been blessed and we know what the blessing is. If I don't know I've been blessed, or I don't know what the blessing is I've received, how am I going to give thanks for it? And yet it's not beyond our capability. It's a very basic point and principle to be able to see reasons to be thankful. Well, let me just illustrate for Philippians 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Paul knew the blessings that he had received. He not only knew that he'd been blessed, he knew what those blessings were. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, he wrote, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He knew the blessing he'd been receiving from the hand of the Philippian brethren. They were supporting Paul, sustaining his life financially, monetarily, or materially, so he could preach, so he could survive when he's in prison. They sent gifts to him. They sent things that sustained him. He was having a share with them and they with him in the gospel. And he's thanking God when he remembers them for that fellowship. He knew what the blessing was. Now, let's make the application. Children, do you know
what the blessing is that your parents give you? Do you know the blessing of their time? Do you know the blessing of their love? Do you count the blessings that you receive? Parents, do we count the blessings of our children? Do we know what the blessings are that they bring to our lives? Do we express that thanksgiving as God wants us to, as we ought to be? Are we showing ourselves to be grateful, thankful people, or unthankful? Perhaps some of it comes down to just taking the time and remembering to remember. To know that we've been blessed and to know what the blessings are that we've received. And of course to know what the source is of those blessings. To know that God is the source of the blessings that we receive. The Father, it's noted in James 1 and verse 17 that every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Remember God as a source. We studied and talked about God as a source of wisdom this morning. But whether, you know, in whatever relationship in our life, whatever circumstance of our life, do we remember that God is the giver? He's the source of every blessing. Everything. There isn't one thing that we could identify and successfully conclude it did not have as its source a blessing in our life, God. God is the source. God is the giver. Nebuchadnezzar forgot that in Daniel, the fourth chapter. In Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, the most powerful man on earth, ruling the great empire of Babylon that had stretched forth and conquered many nations. He was walking about all the gardens that he had built, the palace that was his, and he was admiring the extent of his power, of his reign, of his rule, of his majesty. And in doing that, God brought him down. God drove him out into the field to teach the principle, to teach a lesson that those things didn't come from Nebuchadnezzar. They came from Almighty God. Daniel 4 and 30. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and the honor of my majesty?" And while the words were still in his mouth, a voice fell from heaven saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you'll be driven out from men and dwell as the beasts of the field. For seven times, for a complete period of time, shall pass over you until you know that the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever He chooses." See, the blessings of our life come from God. He's the source. When we give thanks to God, it indicates that we know He is the source. We know what the blessings are. We know that we've been blessed. So there is knowledge attached to thanksgiving. Maybe we don't give thanks because we don't know. Because we have not stopped to learn and to know and understand just what blessings are in our lives from God. And that life itself is a blessing from God. Now let's move forward from that though, as we remind ourselves of it. Let's remember that we're to give thanks in everything. When should we be giving thanks? Well, we should be giving thanks always, and for everything. But before we get to the everything part, let's look at Psalm 34 and verse 1. The psalmist David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth." Now, he probably wrote this at a time when Saul was chasing him and trying to kill him, and he had to escape to the Philistines. And there, before Abimelech, he had to pretend that he was mad to save his life. And yet David says, "I'll bless the Lord." He's thankful to God that he escaped. He's thankful in the bad circumstance. There was a reason to be thankful.
So this young man, it's all reason to always give thanks to God. And he teaches us that we should give thanks. Look, think about when Thanksgiving ought to exist. We most generally think about giving thanks after something's happened, but we all think about giving thanks before,
with the expectation of the blessing. King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat and his people, the people of Judah, were about to go to battle against Moab and the Ammonites and the Edomites there in Judah, in the southern parts of Judah. And before they go to battle, he remembers to praise and to give thanks to God. 2 Chronicles 20, let's read that in verses 20 and 21. They rose up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper." Now there's a principle for any of us. If we're going to be blessed, we're going to prosper as the people of God if we will believe God and believe His prophets. If our faith will be anchored in the Word of God and the promises of God. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord, who would praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Before they received the mercy, before they received the victory of battle on that day, they were thanking God for His mercy. They were praising God for His blessings. Do we forget to even thank God ahead of time? Do we ever think about thanking God ahead of time? Much less after the blessings come. You see, what that says is we honor God. We honor and have trust in God. If we're able to thank God before the blessing comes, then we expect a blessing from God. Do we expect a blessing from God? When we walk in hand, and when we walk hand in hand with God, when we are walking with God in our lives, we expect a blessing. Don't children expect a blessing from their father? Don't children expect to be blessed, to be benefited by their parents? How much more the people of God ought to be expectant and be thankful in that expectation? We ought to give thanks before the blessing comes. Because we know who God is. We know the holiness of God. We know the character of God. We know the promises of God. And so even before we arrive to heaven, long before we ever get to heaven, should we not be thanking God? You see, that's the point. Should we not be thanking God long before? In expectation of what He's promised? Certainly we should be giving thanks during a blessing. Pardon me.
In Acts 28 and verse 15, Paul was a prisoner of Rome and detained by Rome and being brought to Rome. And the brethren from Rome came out to meet him. And it says, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. In the moment of the blessing, Paul was thankful. And that again is something that we need to remember.
When the blessing is coming, when it's occurring, it's because we rely upon God, because we are aware of God in our life, that we are giving thanks to God. Now,
I have Job to illustrate the point in Job 1:21. Even in one of the most darkest periods of his life, he just received word that his children were dead, that his herds were destroyed, that his possessions ransacked, plundered. He said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Even then, and especially then, Job was thankful. Because he relied upon God. You see, it's when we are aware in our life that God is the source of all things and all good blessings, then
everything is an advantage, even the distress, even the pain, even in loss and trial, there is a reliance upon God. And when I can rely upon God, I have something to be thankful for. As well as after the blessing comes. Acknowledgement. What did they do? Moses and the people. What did Moses lead the people in when they crossed the Red Sea? He sang a song of praise and thanksgiving. Daniel, when King Nebuchadnezzar was searching for someone to tell him what dream he had and then interpret the dream as well, Daniel was given the understanding and he immediately thanked God. He thanked God for the blessing that came. But I want you to read with me Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Jesus is traveling from Galilee down to Jerusalem, and he's going through Samaria, and he entered a certain village, and there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They are unclean. They have the horrendous disease of leprosy. And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And so it was, priests. And so it was when they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." I'm impressed here with the attitude of God, as well as teaching me to remember to be thankful. The attitude of God is, "Where were the 9? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Weren't there 10 who were healed? Where are the 9? God says, "Where are the 9? Where are those who have been blessed but don't remember me? Who I granted life and breath and all things, and they don't acknowledge me?" You see, thanksgiving proceeds from a heart that not only knows that there's a blessing, but knows where it comes from and acknowledges it. Who is relying upon God, even during the blessing, seeing the blessing, and even expects a blessing because there's a relationship that one has with God as a child of God. This is what God expects of us, His people. To not be among those who, when blessed, don't remember God. Now, note, he said the one that came back was a foreigner. That is the Samaritan. We must not fail to see the point that we as Christians in the house of God may ourselves forget to remember to thank God. We must always remember the source of our blessing and acknowledge Him, as well as expect and rely upon God as the source of all good things that sustain us and bring us into eternity with Him. So, not only does He say, "Give thanks always," but "Give thanks always for all things." Ephesians 5:20. Thanks for all things. Now, that sounds pretty inclusive, and it is. Things physical and things spiritual. Things ordinary and things extraordinary. Things that we receive and things that are withheld. You see, there was something withheld from Paul, wasn't there? 2 Corinthians 12:10, his physical health, this thorn in the flesh, was not removed. And he thanked God. He prayed that it be removed. But when it wasn't removed, he thanked God. There was a circumstance where he experienced pain, but he thanked God because he saw God as the source of grace and mercy to sustain him in his weakness.
He said, when I'm weak, I'm strong in Christ, in God. You see, in the weakest moments, there's a reason to give thanks. Because it's in my weakest moment that I rely upon God. That I need God. And it's in the strong moment that I remember it's God who gives me strength in Christ. You see, but remember, when we're not thankful, it's because we turn the focus away from the giver of the blessing to ourselves. And so we forget, both in strength or in weakness, to thank God. But we can, in truth, in all things, whether in strength or in weakness, be people who are thankful and see the blessing and give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. George gave me a little news clipping. This morning of the there's an elderly couple. Now, I won't say they're about George and Mary at his age, but in that little clipping, they're giving thanks for their meal. And he says, thank you God for the meal that we have. And then there was a pause and silence. And he said, and thank you that we don't have to wear diapers. Now, to not be offensive of those who might have to wear depends, you can be thankful that there are such things in the world. There's always some way we can see the blessing, or it should be. We can see that if we can be thankful if we'll open our eyes and see it. If we open our eyes and see it. And that's really what God wants us to do when He teaches us to be thankful for all things, is to open our eyes and see it. See that He is the giver of our food and our clothing. See that He's the giver of all men. The blessing, He says, give thanks for all men. 1 Timothy 2:11. Paul was able to give thanks when he remembered the brethren in Philippi. Our memories are a blessing from God. Blessing, our brethren are a blessing. And Paul thanked God for his brethren. We thank God for our brethren. You see, we thank God for His work, His grace and His salvation, for the Son, for His Word, for His judgments, for our family, for our joys and our trials, for our pleasures and our pains, for the sorrows and the joys, you see. There's reason and ability to give thanks. How is that, Joe? How is that, God? How can I give thanks in all circumstances? Because, you see, it's a test and a profession of our faith. To give thanks always tests our faith and our trust and reliance in God. And it professes that our faith is not in ourselves, but in God. You see, when Paul was in prison, he said it turned out for the benefit of the gospel. He could thank God. But when he's a prisoner, unjustly held for years on end, for a long time, 2 years plus, he said, it's turned out the benefit of the gospel. Because you see, a thankful person is remembering the gratitude that he has toward the giver of gifts, the giver of blessings, and the circumstances of his life provides an opportunity beyond himself to the glory of God. And so Paul rejoiced in that. Now how can we rejoice in such trials of life? Well, Romans 8:28 teaches us how we can do it. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. How can we be thankful? By remembering that all things work together for good. But that's a test of our faith. Because I may just not see the good right now. It may be beyond the moment that the good exists, or beyond the scope of my sight at that particular occasion. I mean, where is the good when you just hear all your children are dead? But when you trust God, when you have faith in God, Job is able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." To be able to give thanks in all things and for all things
We have to look beyond ourselves and the momentary circumstance. We have to have a perspective that is eternal and beyond ourselves that goes to God. In verse 35, he goes on by saying, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now here's the blessing, the love of Christ. That's the blessing. Now who's going to separate us? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Those are not pleasant circumstances at all. But here's the blessing, the love of Christ, our redemption in the Savior, our fellowship with eternal God, people of God and the love of God in Christ Jesus. Will these things remove us? As it is written, "For your sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter." Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So the focus of the thankful heart in all things, again, it's God. He is the one who has the power to give us victory over the circumstance. "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's why we can be thankful in all things. Because there is no external force that can separate you from God. If you're separated from God, you've chosen to ignore the blessing. You've chosen to let the circumstance overwhelm you rather than trust in faith that you're more than conquerors through the One who's loved you in His Son, who gave His Son to die, to be a Savior. "He who did not spare His own Son," verse 32, "but delivered Him for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" There's that word again. All things. He gives us all things in the Son. So in all things, we can give thanks through the Son, because our reliance is not on ourselves, but on Him. Giving thanks in all things is a test of our faith in God. And it shows we have faith in God and rely on Him. And are mindful. We are mindful that God is the one who is giving the blessing. Now, to whom do we give thanks? Well, the verse says, to God the Father. Thanks to God the Father. Remember, the Father is noted as the giver of all things, just as a father nurtures and gives to his children. God nurtures and gives us. What father, if his child asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for bread, will give him a stone? Jesus said, "If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, shall not our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Matthew 7, verse 11. God, the idea of God being a Father, He's a provider. He is a giver. As well as a sustainer of the blessing. Well, now, to say give thanks, that we're to give thanks to God the Father, does that mean we don't have to give thanks to God the Son, or that we shouldn't give thanks to God the Son, or shouldn't give thanks to God the Holy Spirit? Well, it's not exclusively the Father. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, "I give thanks to Christ Jesus." Pardon me. It's not that Paul is saying just exclusively give thanks to the Father, not the Son. The Father gave the Son, so we thank the Father for the gift of the Son. But see, the Son gave His life. And so we thank the Son for the gift of His life that is a ransom for all. We thank the Spirit who bore testimony of the Son and gave all truth to guide us in truth and righteousness. You see, the truth is God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Godhead, deity. Deity is deserving of thanks, as God the Father is emphasized in Ephesians 5 and verse 20. But surely, note in Romans 1, it was because people were unthankful. Though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. For this reason, the wrath of God is brought upon and is upon those who sin, those who live in unrighteousness and ungodliness. Lack of thanks, ingratitude, is a sin.
against the God who gives all things.
He gives us life
and breath and all things. So surely God the Father, and indeed the Son and the Spirit as well, are worthy of our thanks. How must we give thanks? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we recognize that He's the means of all the blessings we have.
Every spiritual blessing we have in the heavenly places is in Him, and He's the means of every blessing that we have in God and in our salvation. Look at Colossians 3:17. It says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now we very often stop right there, and we make the point about the authority of Christ in all things, and rightly so. We're to have His authority in everything we say and everything we do. But I want you to see the rest of the verse. As we follow the authority of Christ in everything, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, there's the matter of giving thanks. We are thankful
that we have the authority of Jesus Christ by which we can speak and do those things that please God, and we express that thanks through Him. He is our means. And in Christ we give thanks with our whole being.
We sacrifice give the sacrifice of our lips, the praise in word and in song and in prayer. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. By Christ, we offer up a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. If it were not for Jesus Christ, we could not thank God for redemption, for He is the means of our redemption. And so, by Him, we offer up a sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving, in our words, in our prayers, in our songs, in our lives. Colossians 2 and 7 says we're to be abounding in thanksgiving. Look at that verse with me. It says, "As then you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, even as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving," or overflowing in it with thanksgiving. As we walk in Christ, as we live in Christ, as we seek to be grounded and built up and rooted in Christ and strengthened in Him, we're to overflow with thanksgiving. That's the element of our life and everything. In the name of Christ, we're to be thankful people. Ingratitude, show selfishness and pride, self-centeredness and self-satisfaction. In 2 Timothy 3:1-4 describes people who were lovers of self, who were no lovers of God. They loved pleasure. They loved money. But they weren't thankful people. And Paul says, from these kind of people, turn away from them. Turn away from those kind of people. That's not the kind of people we're supposed to be. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Unthankful, unholy. Right, you see that? Verse 2, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving.
Look at that. Look what ingratitude surrounds itself with. So God says, no, on the other hand, I want you to be thankful people. Before we close, just read Psalm 140 with me, verse 13.
Psalm 140 and verse 13. It strikes us as what God wants of us in a life of righteousness and gratitude. It says, actually let's begin in verse 12. "I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence." The upright, the righteous, will give thanks to the name, to the power of God, to the glory of God, to the blessings of God, to His goodness, to His mercy, to His truth, and will dwell in the presence of God. So we're to overflow with that kind of thanksgiving.
We're to overflow, that we're to abound in thanksgiving. Everything.
Remember, the source is God. As God's people, we can expect His blessing.
relying upon His blessing, we acknowledge His blessings every day. If you're not a Christian, you need to be a thankful person. You need to be thankful that God loved you in spite of your sin. See, He loved all of us in spite of our sin. And that He has provided a Savior for all of us. And that He calls upon every sinner today, everyone who's outside of Christ today, to express faith and a gratitude of heart to respond to His gift in faith, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, to repent of your sin and to be baptized in Christ and to live now in salvation, be forgiven of your past sin. Or as a child of God, as a Christian, if you've wandered from God, remember God wants you to live in gratitude and thanksgiving. Know that sin is like the 9 lepers who were healed and just went their way and forgot to come back and thank God. When we let sin come back into our lives, we begin living unthankful lives. Come back to the Savior and thank Him for His mercy and forgiveness and be forgiven by repenting. You might stand clean and holy and in God's presence and come into His gates with thanksgiving and praise for His mercy, for His goodness, for His truth. I want to urge you to respond to the gospel call to be saved in the Savior. All together we stand and we sing.